Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we are very happy to have Mary Lenneberg with us. Now, she is an author, a speaker, and a podcaster, and she's written a fantastic book on learning to trust God in our hardest times. Her book is entitled Be Brave in the Scared: How I Learned to Trust God During the Most Difficult Days of My Life. And this beautiful book is available at EWTNRC.com. And you can go to our website, MaryLenneberg.com. Well, we are excited to have Mary on, and we went through her book, and there's a lot of suffering, a lot of revealing, a lot of truth, a lot of sorrow, but the woman continues to shine. And yeah. So, you know, all of us have our trials and our tribulations and our sufferings, and it's really how we choose to respond to it, which becomes our journey of faith. And sometimes we sink, sometimes we float, sometimes we sail, but you know, we all have a response. Right. And so Mary shares her beautiful journey with us in this beautiful book of her life journey. And it was a lot.
Yeah.
But she was very transparent.
And you talk about responses, and there was a lot of responses in this book, by her own admissions, responses of pride, responses of control in horrific situations that she's facing. And it's like, well, if you're not going to fix this and take control of it, then I'll take control of it. You know? And we do that. Mm-hmm. But she got to the point of breaking. You know, she cries out to the Lord. She gives control over to the Lord. And that's what we all need to do. How I learned to trust God during the most difficult days of my life. You might be in those days right now. You might want to hear about how this one person did that. She can't do that for you, but she can tell you the elements that got her to that point, and when she crossed over to the other side and turned it over to the Lord Jesus Christ, power of His Spirit, what took place in her life. May it be so for you as well. We'll be right back. It's going to be a great story of hope for you and of resilience that you can have. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're happy to have Mary Lenneberg with us. She's an author, speaker, and a podcaster. She's a very busy woman. And she's written a fantastic book on learning to trust God in our hardest times. Her book is entitled Be Brave in the Scared: How I Learned to Trust God During the Most Difficult Days of My Life. And this great book, be a great summer read, is available at EWTNRC.com, and you can go to our website, MaryLenneberg.com. Well, Mary, we're excited to have you on our show, and your book was very authentic, very transparent, very real, and you share so much about the difficult moments and trials that you went through in your life. What inspired you exactly to write this book, and how did your faith help you navigate through these troubled waters?
And I want to add one thing. Happiness comes through the book. Yeah. I mean, it's such unbelievable things, and it's just like, you've really come through the other side. You might have to do that again, but I mean, it's positive, it's up, without negating the fears, you know, that are there in the situations that you face. So thank you for the positive way that you present things. There's hope, well, there's hope on this side, but there's a sense of joy, not only the emotion, but joy when you do it the Lord's way. So that's what really came through us.
Thank you so much. I am so honored and humbled to be here on this famous couch with both of you. Why did I write the book? Well, I was approached by several friends who were running a women's ministry, and they had asked me to tell the story of our daughter, Courtney. And so I went and I told the story, And it had such an impact on the women that were attending that day that I was approached by Ave Maria Press, and they had asked if I would consider writing a book about our life together. And I said no three times, and my husband said yes the final time, because I knew if I wrote the story, I would have to write the full tale. Mm. And not everybody knew about what was going on behind the scenes. They knew we had a child who started having seizures. Our Courtney started having seizures when she was 5 weeks old. And for the remainder of her life, her medical diagnosis was seizure disorder, origin unknown. So they never figured out why. There was no known reason as to why. When she was 7 months old, we gave her a medication that we thought would help her. And unfortunately, she was allergic to one of the components of the medication. And she ended up having a brainstem seizure when she was 7 months old. She lost her sight, and she never progressed past 7 to 9 months in development for the remainder of her life. Mm. And she was with us for 22 years. So, but during that, when you have a child in crisis, what happens in marriage, as I'm sure anybody knows that has been in crisis, all the things that you don't want to talk about, all the things that you've been hiding, all the things that you've been trying desperately to handle on your own, kind of come to the surface like a volcano, and they destroy everything around. And what happened in my marriage was my husband revealed an addiction to pornography. I myself have struggled with an addiction to food and emotional overeating. Our son struggled as a young preschooler with his own emotional well-being. And then, of course, Courtney's right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And so we had to tell the whole story. So when the book was published, I think I shocked a few people with what was happening and what my marriage went through and how my husband and I had to really choose one another. And to this day, some 36 years mm-hmm. later, you know, we still have to choose each other mm-hmm. and we still have to fight. Most marriages that have a child with disabilities end in divorce, almost 80% of them. And we didn't want to be that couple. We didn't want to be that family. And so we kind of came to a place where we could choose each other and choose to fight for our daughter. And my husband comes from a Navy background. He's a Navy flyboy. So, you know, you never leave a man behind. Mm-hmm. And so we promised each other we wouldn't leave our daughter behind. And that's what brought us to sharing our story on a global level mm-hmm. and continues to share our daughter and her legacy of love mm-hmm. some 10 years after she's been home with the Lord.
Yeah. So that was a fast sharing of so many years mm-hmm. and so much pain and change and so on. When did she have her first seizure? I seem to remember something about a church and a yes. baptism, because yeah. I was reading the book Before Joy Did, and was reading it in various places, including bed, you know, and Joy was going to sleep, and I'm saying, oh, you're going to have to read this story. And I didn't even tell her, you know, when she experienced her seizure, in what context. Maybe you want to share that, because I was afraid she wouldn't be able to sleep. That it would have hurt her so much.
Yeah.
Share with us a little bit.
She had her first seizure when she was 5 weeks old on the day of her baptism. So we had gathered as a family. I'm one of eight kids. So when a family gathers for the family wedding, mm-hmm. you know, a large family comes together. My mom was like, oh, Courtney's going to be baptized. Why don't we do it all together on the same weekend? And so we did. And I grew up outside of Washington, D.C. So the family gathered for my brother's wedding. And that Sunday, we were in my home church that I grew up in and went to school and had received my own sacraments in. And during her baptism, she sort of arched and flailed a bit, and we thought it was because the water was cold. Mm-hmm. So we really didn't pay attention. I calmed her down. She was very agitated. And then Father continued with the rite, and she did it again. And so I was nursing her to kind of calm her down, and she went into a full-blown grand mal seizure. And that's how we arrived at the emergency room. Thankfully, the rite of baptism had been completed, and we arrived very dramatically at the hospital with her still nursing, or just she was clamped down on my my chest, and we just showed up that way. And the doctor approached us. We knew it was an emergent situation. I was holding myself in a way that she could still breathe. And they gave her, I think it was probably Valium or something in her heel. She released from me, and they literally took her away from me. And I collapsed, and I didn't see her again for 7 hours. And She continued to have seizures. They thought maybe she had a brain tumor. They thought there was a genetic anomaly. I mean, all these things.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves spending the next week in the pediatric intensive care unit at the local military hospital in Washington, D.C. And at the end of that week, you know, so much happened during that week. My husband had to leave us and go back and move our family. Mm. And while we were in the intensive care unit with our daughter and our three-year-old son. So it was very dramatic, but we came home with a different child. And what began that week was this argument between God and myself. Mm-hmm. I was Jacob wrestling with the angel, and I wasn't going to give up in one night. Mm-hmm. So we, the Lord and I, had kind of a major tug of war happen for the next 7 years. And there were many moments where I remember one specifically in the hospital at 3 a.m. She was having a CAT scan. They thought she had a brain tumor. And I was in a room by myself with orange chairs. There will never be orange chairs in my house because this is a moment where the Lord and I met face to face. And I was screaming at him. And I was like, you can't take her. Because what had happened is a week prior, at the age of 25, I had ended my ability to have more children. Mm-hmm. My husband wasn't Catholic. I wasn't a very good Catholic. And we were afraid. We had two kids. We thought, okay, we know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we told God no. And here a week later, we're in the hospital. Courtney could be dying, and it's all my fault because I had said no to God. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. And so when I was kind of screaming at him, being a very, very tough Irish woman, speaking my mind, he was very clear. I heard in my dad's voice, my father, that strong Irish voice, he called my name. He said, Mary Beth. And I was like, who's talking to me? Mm-hmm. I'm going crazy, you know? He goes, Mary Beth. And I'm like, what? And he goes, do you love her? And I said, yes, of course I love her. You moron, I love her. You know, I was very honest. And he's like, well, I love her too. Mm-hmm. And she's perfect just as she is.
Now, who's saying this to you?
God.
God
the Father.
Mm-hmm.
In the room. Like, I thought my dad was across the room talking to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was totally blown away and torn apart. And at that point, I kind of agreed. I said, okay, if she's perfect this way, then
That's
this is what we
but
have to do.
But you also have your dad, because you quote your dad, and you say you kind of live by what he said to you, your father, not the heavenly father. So it's no wonder that you could have thought it was just like your father.
Yeah.
Your father said, never quit, never give up, never lose your faith. It's the one reason you walk on this earth. For God chose this time and place just for you. So make the most of it.
Amen.
So I get the connection with your earthly father and the heavenly father. But the heavenly father is saying she's perfect as she is.
She's perfect. There's nothing wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see, and that's what the world sees with our special ones, you know, with these children that have different abilities or disabilities, whatever the word is you want to use. We are all disabled.
Right.
We are all differently
abled
people.
We all have conditions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Courtney just lived hers inside out. She's us inside out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody could see what was wrong. They could see that something was not right. Where you and I hide it. And that's what my relationship with God was. I was hiding all of those things I didn't want to give him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to give him control of my heart or control of my life. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, he is like a really aggressive interior decorator, and he moves everything around, and you don't get to choose the color of the curtains, and you don't get to choose the comfort of the couch. You have to accept what is given, because it's given for your good and God's glory. And it took us 7 years of her life to get to that point of total and complete surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened when we were in Lourdes, and Our Lady stepped in, and she eased our minds and our hearts and changed us, changed my husband and myself. And we began from that moment on to lead a very different life, one of complete surrender to him.
Now, but tell our family about the Lord's experience, because, you know, it wasn't miraculous. You wasn't totally healed, but tell our family about that experience and then what God did and continues to do in your faith acceptance of it all.
Because while you're in Lourdes, it's not simply about Courtney and all that she's going through. And then she experienced blindness, like, okay, but she's perfect. And yet your husband's addiction being exposed. And then you have difficulty with your son.
Yes.
And you find out later on that a lot of it has to do with what's kind of normal in those situations is this young girl is so critical, so much attention there, and then he's experiencing, you know, am I loved or is this because, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just one reality, which is enough, Courtney's reality, which is a blessing in disguise, but it's your husband, it's you, it's your son. I don't know what else is going on, but how does Lourdes intersect with
that? The wholeness of the family.
Yeah, and all the pain comes out sideways.
That's right.
I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, so when we were in Lourdes, anybody that's been to Lourdes, you know, you go into the water. This was pre-COVID, so we went into the water as the Lord brings us into the earth, which we were completely and totally unprepared for. That is not in the brochure, by the way, that you put this sheet on and you go in as the Lord brought you into the world. Uh-huh. So Courtney went into the water. And she, as the women were praying over her and preparing her to go in the water, she was on a stretcher because she couldn't walk. They had a little statue, a 6-inch statue of Our Lady. And they were touching different parts of her body and they were praying for, and they asked me, you know, where is the mm-hmm. hurt? So I said, the brain. So as they were bringing Our Lady up to touch the statue, pray the Hail Mary, Courtney, who never grabbed for anything, swiped Our Lady out of her hand mm-hmm. and put her hand over her heart. Now, Courtney never made an action like that intentionally in her life, other than to drink her sippy cup mm-hmm. of water. And so I was watching, and the people around me were watching because we didn't know what she was going to do. Mm-hmm. And then she took her other hand and put it over her heart. Mm. And she went into the water in that position and came out of the water with a huge smile on her face in that same position. And so I had no idea. I was disconcerted, you know, looking at that. And then it was my turn, and I go into the water, and it's the coldest water ever because I think Our Lady wants your full and complete attention. So she makes it really cold so everything leaves your mind. And I bowed my head, and they asked me for a prayer, and I couldn't remember anything that I had practiced on the plane. And I simply heard a young woman's voice say the word acceptance. And I opened my eyes, and I looked around because I thought somebody else was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And they were all bowed in prayer. Nobody's eyes were open. And so I thought, okay, I'm going insane. This is great. We're going to go insane while we're in Lourdes. Fabulous. That wasn't in the brochure either. So, you know, we have this moment. We come out. I get dressed. I don't know what it means. I accept my daughter. I love my daughter. I thought it was Our Lady talking to me. I'm like, I don't know what you mean by this. You've got to explain it. We go out. I see my husband. He comes over to Courtney. He has tears in his eyes. And he tells us he went in the water. He had been a Catholic for 1 year at that point. And it's the most Catholic thing he's ever done. He'll tell you that to this day. It's the most Catholic thing he's ever done. And he saw Courtney and he said, you know, I love you and we're with you and we're going to do this. And I was like, did you go in the water? And he said he went in the water. And then he too was a little shocked at how it all happens. But as we were walking back to lunch, we're simply walking back to the hotel. And I start telling him what happened to Courtney and that I heard the word acceptance. And he stops me, and I turn around and I look at him, and he's white as a sheet. And I was like, you're not having a stroke in mm-hmm. Lourdes. You're not having a heart attack in
not
Lourdes.
Not now.
Like, not now. We don't have time for that. And he said, Mary, what did you hear? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I heard the word acceptance. And he looks at me and he goes, I went into the water. They asked me for my prayer. I couldn't think of one, so I closed my eyes. And I heard a young woman's voice say acceptance.
Mary, we're going to hold it right mm-hmm. there. It's a great place to hold it, and we're going to hold you over for the final segment, and we can pick it up right there about hearing that word of acceptance and what that means into the future. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Welcome back. Continuing our conversation here with Mary Lenneberg and just God's works in your lives. And we got to the point now where you were at Lourdes mm-hmm. and both you and your husband heard this word about acceptance. And you're kind of saying, well, we accept our daughter who has this severe disability. So what was it about acceptance? When did you understand that word? How did it apply? And within about 3 minutes.
So beautiful things happened. Courtney was able to receive her first communion in Lourdes. That was something we never thought was possible. And there's more about that in the book and all the details. But really it was 4 years later when Courtney was having brain surgery back in the United States, where I reread my notes and I had been on a retreat. And we talked about how the Catholic Church teaches healing. And it's first miraculous healing, you know, something's there, then it's not. Then healing after a time of suffering. But the third type of healing is acceptance, that's healing will not happen this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. And what I realized in that moment, because we had just said goodbye to our daughter, we didn't know what was going to happen with this surgery. It was very tenuous. And I looked at my husband and I said, oh my gosh, we're idiots. You know, it took us 4 years to figure this out. And he said, what do you mean? And I told him, who went in the water first? Courtney went in the water first. What had our prayer been? Our prayer was that we would hear the voice of our daughter, her true voice, the one God gave her, not the one that medicine took away. And so we came to understand in that moment that the voice we heard was Courtney's, and that she had accepted her role and what God had asked her to do, and to be this suffering servant, and to give her life for him, and therefore saving her family, bringing her family around her, in union with the Lord and carrying her home to him. Mm. And it changed everything. It didn't change the seizures or her medical condition. Nothing practically changed, but it changed our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we turned our lives around, our whole family's life turned around. Yeah. And we walked her home over the course of the next 7 years or so. And we lived differently, we lived out loud, we took her everywhere. She was involved at church, she was confirmed. She, you know, her life affected other people without ever saying a word. And that's because we accepted that God was in control, and that once you accept that suffering and you enter into it fully with him by your side, that he never leaves you, he never walks away, and that he walks you to something so much better. Mm-hmm. You know, it says in Ephesians 3:20-21 that the generosity of God can never be outdone. Mm-hmm. And our daughter taught us that. Oh. Through her acceptance, and thereby our acceptance of what God needed from us, which was to love her. Amen.
Mary, thank you so much for your living witness to the power of Jesus Christ in some of the most distressful situations that wind up being, when you look at them in another way, such a blessing. And you've thought, my daughter's disabled, but you find out I'm disabled. Yeah. She's accepted, I haven't. But thank God we have tomorrow to continue further. Be brave in the scared. How I learned to trust God during the most difficult days of my life. Mm. Go to EW10RC.com to get the book, and it'll be a great source of hope and wisdom and opportunity for many of us. God bless you. You're never alone. You're an important part of the EW10 family, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.